Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Wednesday, the 24th of April. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined this morning for the first time this week by Chris Jack. How's it going, Chris?
All good, Derek. All good. Halfway through the week. Nice to be on a more positive footing over the last couple of days than last week. So I thought it was a good win on Sunday. Good result, good performance. And now just counting down the days to St Mirren. If Rangers could get a result on Sunday, ask a question of Celtic, then that's really all we can do. So now looking forward to getting back into it. Obviously, presser Friday, a couple of days to fill before then. But plans are already in place. Things are well underfoot. So now can expect the usual content on the site over the next couple of days as we build up to that, it's up to Paisley.
Yeah, there's plenty on there to get your teeth stuck into, folks. Before we talk all things Rangers, just a quick word for our podcast sponsors, MPH Boilers. You know the drill by now. They've got some wonderful Viessmann boilers on offer, if that is something that is playing on your mind. Not only that, they throw in the first year service free. There's flexible finance options. They get a free internet controller as well. All important links are in the description below, so do go and check them out. I'll tell you about our two offers we've got on the website just now as well. We're giving away this signed Rangers jersey from the fabled time back in the 90s, between 94 and 96. Rangers wore this famous, iconic jersey. It's signed by both Gazza and McCoist. To be in with a chance of winning that, all you have to do is sign up to one of two offers we've got on the website just now. You can take out a six-month subscription for just £1 or a year subscription for just £18. It's £2.99 per month thereafter. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe to sign up. Not only that, but existing subscribers also entered automatically into the draw. The offer ends on the 29th of April, so this coming Monday. So a few days left to take advantage of it. But yeah, cracking prize. And the two offers on the website, I mean, they're wonderful offers that we've got on it just now. So we're practically giving the content away. You'll find yesterday, Josh had done a great piece on Todd Cantwell and his performance against Hearts on Sunday. We also recorded a Rangers Review extra video explaining the intricacies of that analysis piece yesterday. That will be available to all later on this evening. There's also an interview on there from Leon Balogun, who was speaking after the game on Sunday. He covered a number of different topics, including returning from injury, his recent bout of sickness, which is why he missed the Dundee game. He talks about Conor Goldson, and he also talks about his hopes for a potential Ibrox future. Just on missing the game last week, he said, I had some sort of flu. I was down a few days. I didn't feel great on myself, but it was good to get out there again. You have to grind it out and back yourself again and feel good about yourself. I'm happy I did well. I think the idea for me to play against Dundee was there, but I can't really say, because before I even knew, I lay down flat and was sent back home from the team hotel. Conor Goldson, he says, in terms of shoe size, I almost make it up for him, but it's big boots to fill, and I feel like a lot of time he doesn't always get the credit he deserves. He is always vital, and in terms of his communication on and off the pitch, his presence, it's not easy to replicate that. He encouraged everyone. And he said as well about returning to the starting 11 at the weekend. Obviously, you want to play, but for me at this point, if you think back to October, and then think about the situation we are in now, you would have signed for it, even if you look back the past week. We could have put ourselves in a better position. But for me, it's about being strong as a team. Miller, that is me. Ben Davis, Conor Goldson starting. For me, at the end of the day, it's about what we do want to do for the club. We serve at the end of the day, and we have a big challenge there in front of us, and it takes everyone. If it's me, I am happy. I think I've proven enough during my spell here that I am a team player. Potential about playing at the weekend. I really don't know. I think, in fact, this is about his contract. He was saying, I really don't know. I think those decisions will be made within the club within the next few weeks. I hope I get a notification a bit more timely than the last time around. I would like to think I can be quite positive and touching on what you said about the manager choosing me against Hearts, but I really can't tell you. I don't know yet. So there you go. I think it's clear that Big Leon would like to stay at the club next season. Chris, we've discussed it before. Thought he was excellent, by the way, at Hampden at the weekend, coming in for Connor Goldson. That was a big call from the manager. I think it was a right one in the end. And I would be having him in my back line for that trip to Paisley on Sunday. We've said before, I think Rangers will need to do a bit of surgery in the back line in the summertime. If Leon is happy being a bit part player and coming in now and again when called upon, then I think I would be inclined to offer him a year's extension. Where do you sit on that?
The centre-back situation is going to be really interesting to see how that unfolds. I think we would probably say two will definitely go, i.e. Ben Davies and Leon King. I think it's time for both of them to move on. Leon just has to go and play football somewhere. And if the good of his career, it's clearly not going to work out for him at Rangers, so a move would be the best thing for him. Ben Davies can't get in the side. It's fallen well down the pecking order. That is a transfer fee and a wage that Rangers can utilise better. If they do that, I'd like to see them bring in a starter, bring in someone who you know is going to be first-choice centre-half. And the other position is then up for grabs. So if you go and spend the money, you identify someone who's younger, fitter, quicker, stronger than what you've got, and potentially get a sell on as well, that'd be great. I'd like to see them go and really strengthen that centre-back area. And I say the other slot is then up for grabs. Goldson, if he stays, he's obviously in that mix. John Souter, I like, clearly in that mix. Balogun for me is still up for grabs. Do you have someone who is clearly a good guy to have around at the club? He's a good presence. He always comes across really well. He buys into it. He gets it. He understands it. He's been successful here before. So there's a lot to like about Leon Balogun. Now, the downside is his age, but in that stage of his career, he's looked after himself. He mentioned that, I think it was after the Motherwell game at Fir Park, he actually spoke to us and went through some of the difficult times he's had in his career through injury and how he's determined to make the most of it and why he puts in so much effort and he does everything to try and extend his career and try and play at the high level. He's not going to be a signing that will break the bank in terms of wages. If he's happy to not be a bit part player, but if he's happy to take his chances going for that second spot, then I can definitely see the reason. If the manager feels that he's got enough experience in Conor Goldson, for example, and Goldson then stays and he perhaps fills that experienced defender slot. So I think it's, as I say, I'll be interested to see how Clement and Niels Coppen look to remodel that centre-back area. Because I think we're all in agreement. I'd be amazed if there's anybody that says otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's an area of the side that does need an upgrade, that does need a bit of money spent on it, does need some fresh blood. If Rangers can get that right, it clearly gives them a big foundation heading into the new season. But over the next few weeks, Balogun, for me, plays until he does something that determines that it doesn't deserve to. Players at this stage, players have to be picked on form, not reputation. Goldson's got the reputation. Balogun on the showing of the weekend, he's in good form. He starts for me against St Mirren at the weekend all day long.
Yep. Lots of comments agreeing with both of us there, although Cammy says Bally is too old. Free up his squad place and wage for a younger player. Ross with the point as well. He said David Weir stayed until past 40. No reason why Balogun couldn't stick around next season as a squad player. He certainly looked after himself, David Weir, and Leon Balogun is the exact same absolute athlete of a guy. And behind the scenes, as the manager touched on recently, this is what Clement had to say, was quizzed on him in a recent press conference. He said, about Leon, I'm very happy about him. I didn't have the chance in the last couple of weeks to put him more on the field because I had so much rotation to do with offensive players that were not ready for 90 minutes that I could not take centre-backs in who maybe could play 70 or 80 minutes. Then I had to change. I could not take risk with that. So he was unlucky in that way, but he's been really good in the training. He's been inspiring also for the young players in the building who are in the squad to come to train with us. So that is really he's helping in a really good way. So he's been a really good asset for the club and I'm really happy with him. So certainly the manager happy with him, trusts him in big games as we've seen on Sunday against Hearts as well. And like you, Chris, I think he keeps that jersey for the trip to Paisley on Sunday and maybe even beyond. Now, the manager did say that Goldson was brought out just due to freshness. He has played at a lot of games. He will have the week's recovery time, but I would be surprised if he puts Goldson back into that lineup. The old saying, Chris, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think it's become one of the big decisions for him now. For so long, I think it was almost nailed on what your centre-half partnership would be. We've seen a lot of comments on the show. A lot of people have been saying for several weeks that Balogun should get his chance. I know we both fancied him to come in against Dundee. That chance was taken out of his hands because of the illness that he had, and as he mentioned in the interview. So that was unfortunate. But when he then comes in completely out of the cold, I think the Livingston game at Ibrox was his last outing, apart from just a couple of minutes in the Old Firm game. It's quite something to be out the side for that long, but come in and not look out of place in a cup semi final. So it's a big call for the manager now. If you put Goldson's absence down to freshness, you would think he has regained that freshness over the course of the days he's not been in the side. So that's a big call on Sunday. I think he will go Balogun and Souter, but who knows? Clermont's sides have been very difficult to pick over the course of the season, as we know. We're also doing them ahead of every game. If you get eight right, then you're doing well. So interesting to see which way the manager decides to go.
Yep. It will be interesting to see. I would keep that same back line. Interestingly, played on the right-hand side where Goldson would normally have played on Sunday. I think everyone would have imagined that Souter would play in his more favoured position on the right-hand side, but I think it was to do with covering the pace that he has to cover for James Tavernier. Pazuzu says, can you not just have Balogun and Goldson at the back as a partnership? There was a piece last week, I think Joshua did, on what might be your good self, Chris, perhaps, about the goals conceded. Balogun and Goldson, they haven't conceded many as a partnership as opposed to the Balogun Souter or the Goldson Souter partnership. I guess that is something that the manager might think about, because John Souter had a few shaky moments at Hampden on Sunday.
I think Souter's had shaky moments over the course of the season. I don't think he's had a dreadful campaign, but I don't think he's had an outstanding campaign. I think the main thing for John is that he has played a lot of football. He spoke in the press conference a couple of weeks ago about how his first season here, it was not the dream campaign that he envisioned it being. It has been difficult for him. But I think that the fact that he has played a lot of football is certainly a positive. Seems to be over the main thing for the manager heading into his final five league games plus the cup final. Rangers need to start keeping clean sheets more regularly. Losing the goals they lost in the Celtic game, we've been through nowhere near good enough. The goals they lost up at Ross County were dreadful. And that those mistakes had been creeping into their play over the previous week. So hopefully Sunday is a sign that they can be a bit more solid once again. I think the midfield certainly helped in that regard at the weekend as well. But if Rangers can keep a handful of clean sheets over these next few weeks, then it puts them obviously in a very, very strong position to hopefully go on and win some. Trying to win some silverware.
Yeah, absolutely. There was just a wee stoppage there when you were speaking. Matthew says Chris testing out his auto-tune there, but we've got you back, so all good. Interesting point as well from Mark, just on Ben Davis. Says, what's happening with Davis? Is he off in the summer? I think it would be highly likely that he'll be departing in the summer, Mark. We haven't seen him. He was an unused sub last. Was it against Dundee it was, or Ross County? I'm not entirely sure. Hasn't had a look in since Rangers have come back from the international break, the winter break. It was my understanding that there would be They wouldn't have been tough to deal with if an offer came in January, but nothing materialised. But I think his time at Ibrox is up, and it factors in what we were saying about a bit of surgery being taking place in the back line in the summer. Not only in the back line, I think it's fair to say midfield and the forward line as well. Rangers will need to look at strengthening. This point as well, I'll flag up now. I can't say I have seen the whole thing. I've seen getting a bit of noise on social media. Stephen says, anyone see the podcast Goldson was on? Wonder if his kid's heart diagnosis has had a recent impact on his form. Thoughts on Derek and Chris? I haven't seen it in full, Stephen. I've seen a little comment he made about young guys in the academy and them being sort of different to when he was coming through the academy. I don't think that's a Rangers-specific issue. That's everywhere you go these days. That is just young lads at this point in time. But, yeah, seen him come in for a bit of heat at this moment in time. You don't often get players going on podcasts at this and being so open about things, not only about the football, Chris, but I noticed that he's been talking about, of course, his heart condition, having a hand in the property business as well, and how retirement scares the life out of them also. So it was, I think, from the clips I've seen, it looks quite an informative little podcast that he was on, but I haven't seen much of it. But he has been coming in for a bit of stick. Do you think that's just because he's not maybe flavour of the month?
I've not watched the whole thing yet, so I can't comment on the whole interview. I think, as you say, it's good that players are willing to have these interviews, because I think in general terms, we don't really get enough insight into players, into their private lives, into how they're feeling off the park. A number of the interviews that we get, it's, you know, cliches, it's one game at a time, it's very match orientated. Goldson, when he wants to be, can be a really insightful, interesting big guy. I remember I did an interview with the Sunday newspaper guys last season. It's the first time we've spoken for a long time, and he was sat for 15-20 minutes stuff, and he was just really, really interesting. So it's good to see that he's willing to do that. I'd like to see more players do it. If more players want to do it with us, now that would be great. I think that anything that gives you a bit of insight into the player and the person, it's great. I say it's rather than just focusing on the game, it's always nice to get that bit of insight into the man. So I say fair play for Connor for doing it. I saw the clip about his own heart condition. Clearly has been through a lot in his personal life and his professional life. And while we're all right and we're all it's all fair game to criticise his form within reason, it's fair play to criticise his contribution within reason. He's always struck me as a nice big guy, clearly a huge presence within that Rangers dressing room. As per usual, when emotions are heightened, people are a bit on edge, people are a bit nervous in terms of the title race. I think things are maybe said online, especially in the heat of the moment, which is wrong, because end of the day, these guys they've got wives, they've got families, they've got kids. I think it's important to remember that as well.
Yeah, absolutely is. Definitely. Other news that I wanted to touch on as well. Yesterday, Andy Halliday is looking ahead to the summer. Rangers will be linked with a wide variety of players, there's no doubt about it. But he says it's a no-brainer for Rangers or Celtic to sign Conor Barron on a free. Of course, he's out of contract at Aberdeen at the end of the season. He says, I'm not trying to prize him away from Aberdeen, but always feel they are the no-brainers that Rangers and Celtic should be looking for, especially when they're trying to get homegrown talent for their European squads. I thought he was excellent talking about the weekend. I've heard a few links down south as well, but I just think they're no-brainers for Rangers and Celtic. Doesn't seem like there's been much chat there. There hasn't. Some were mulling whether Rangers would make a pre-contract offer for him in January. It never materialised. This is the sort of players that Rangers should be looking at acquiring, Chris. I would like to see more Scots in and around the first team. I don't think there's enough of them. And talented ones at that, not just Scottish players just for the sake of it. But he's a talented young lad. Whether he wants to make that move to Rangers or indeed Celtic is up to him. He will have a variety of options, I would imagine, in the summertime, both not only from down south, but even abroad. You will have looked at the likes of Lewis Ferguson and Josh Doig and the likes heading out there and making a name for themselves on foreign soil. But this is the sort of player I want to see Rangers going after.
Sometimes signings are just that obvious and they hit you in the face. And I think in terms of Scottish players and players that Rangers should be targeting, Barron is certainly on that list. I was actually speaking to a couple of guys at the start of the week about the Football Writers Awards and who could potentially win the running for manager, player and the young player. Criteria for the Football Writers young player is that it has to be Scottish, because we want to reward the best young domestic talent. Two of the guys, Watson and Miller, fall into that category. Again, I'd be amazed if Rangers aren't tracking those two and don't see those two as potential signings. I think the likes of Miller, Watson and Barron, it's not quite picking them up for nothing. You also will have to pay a fee for them. There will be a Rangers tax on that, perhaps, if you like. Yes. Rangers maybe having to be slightly more than a Championship club would, for example. But you look at they're young. There's lots of improvement in them. They tick the Scottish box, if you like, in terms of the UEFA squad list, which is important. And they know this league. They know what it's like not to play for Rangers, but they know what it's like to play against Rangers. They're fully aware of the media circus that goes around Rangers, if you like. They know what it's like to go to some difficult away venues. I just think you look at successful Rangers sides of the past, they've always had that Scottish core of players. Like Alec McLeish and Walter Smith were never afraid to go and sign the best of Scottish talent. And for me, those three should certainly be on there. I don't think we'll be surprised if we end up with all three of them. But certainly there's talent within this league that can be got a decent transfer fee, a decent wage level, but has certainly got the ability to play for Rangers and then hopefully progress their careers with Rangers.
Yep. Just speaking of Alex McLeish, I've seen today is the anniversary of the famous bedsheet that was unfurled at Ibrox, if you remember Rangers losing to Celtic and the famous, we've won the league at Ibrox 5 points ahead. Celtic were with 4 games to go back in 2005. We all know what happened after that. So, yeah, that's the anniversary of that day. I think not many I knew after watching that game, Chris, that I felt that the league was done, I've got to say. But that Rangers team never gave up, and it produced probably the best ever feeling as a Rangers fan at the end of that season. I don't think that will ever be topped. Would you agree?
We'll have to go some to top that one. I think if the helicopter is looked out on the final day of this season, is the fact that Rangers are back in Edinburgh, is that something of an omen, or are we already clutching at straws 5 games out? But I've spoken to Big Egg a number of times about that, done a number of pieces with him over the years, and he still just gets giddy with excitement when you ask him about it. He just loves telling the stories of how that day unfolded, how that season unfolded, and they've been written off, losing that Old Firm game, but then to come back and win it in those circumstances, just quite incredible. Both those titles, also the one at Ibrox against Dunfermline as well, just incredible days. And those are the days that no matter what team you support, every fan of every football club would just give so much to have experiences like that. Rangers fans were lucky that they had two of them in a very short space of time, but that helicopter Sunday day certainly still lives long in the memory, and it will take some beating. Interesting if people think a title winning on the last day this season, given everything that we've been through and the number of times we've been written off, would it perhaps come close? But I think the original is always the best.
Yeah, it would be very, very sweet. And I've said it before, I think it would be one, in my lifetime anyway, the most impressive Rangers title win if they were to go on and win the title, given where they were and all in between as well. So let's hope that the team can do it. I have my doubts, but yeah, plenty to play for, that's for sure. Another bit of news I wanted to touch on as well. We've got that Scottish Cup final to look forward to at the end of May, Saturday the 25th of May. Kick-off at 3 p.m. There was a bit of talk yesterday in the news that it's set to go head-to-head with the FA Cup final south of the border, which is also scheduled for 3 p.m. on Saturday the 25th of May. I've seen a few suggesting that the SFA may look to move it to an earlier time slot. I'm not entirely sure that is the best course of action, Chris. Just get it on at 3 p.m. I don't give a hoot about the FA Cup final.
No, I think that there's only one show in town if you're up here. I can see the perspective and see the point of we'll have to move it and try and increase the TV audience, but it's an Old Firm game, it's an Old Firm final, Rangers potentially going for the treble. I mean, it sells itself. If you're a football fan in Scotland and you want to watch it, then you'll watch it no matter what time it's on. So if you are interested in it, you'll sit and watch that over the FA Cup final. I think we've seen a lot of debate over the future of the FA Cup over the last couple of weeks. They are doing their best to undermine that tournament, doing their best to take the sense of occasion and history away from that tournament. That's something that, thankfully, the Scottish game hasn't gone down that road yet. It's our cup final. Play it when we want to play it, not when TV companies want to play it or not when the FA Cup is being played. Do what we do. Do what's best for our game. I don't think how many fans down south really going to be that fussed about having to choose. I don't see it having a transformative impact. If you want to watch one game, you'll watch one game. If you want to watch the other one, you'll watch the other one. And if you've got two big TVs in your living room and you want to watch both at the same time, fair play to you. But the Old Firm game will be the better game. An Old Firm Cup final, it's a huge occasion. First one in, obviously, 22 years. That one ended fairly well the last time for us, thankfully. So again, clutching at straws in terms of the omens here this morning. But I think Scottish football should do what's best for it in terms of its history, its product. I don't think we should be changing just because the FA Cup final happens to be on at the same time. I say the FA are going out their way, as it seems, to ruin that competition. We can't make the same mistakes up here.
Yeah. Hear, hear. Gary with the point, he says, I'm in York that weekend. Is there any Rangers pubs down there that anyone knows of? So if you know of any Rangers pubs that will be shown the game, folks, please help Gary out. I'm sure there'll be a number that will be shown that Scottish Cup final. Right, just a heads up of what is on the website and what's to come as well. You can check Stevie's weekly fan blog on there. He talks about Leon Balogun and Mohamed Diamandé as being the key men in the title run-in. So go and read that. As I touched on earlier, Joshua's Todd Cantmell piece, excellent analysis as ever. Leon Balogun interview also. And over on the YouTube channel, as I mentioned, for those of you that are Rangers Review Extra members, we have that Todd Cantwell analysis. It will be available to everyone around about 7 o'clock this evening. As Chris touched on as well, a couple of days before we hear from the manager head of Sunday's game. So good to have the players. I'd imagine they've been in the cryo chamber getting the cotton wool wrapped up in that ahead of going again at the weekend. But yeah, plenty to come your way over the next few days. So yeah, we'll leave it there. Thank you to each and every one of you for interacting with the show as ever. Much appreciated. And we'll speak to you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.